But I'm excited to share with you this morning what the Lord's laid on my heart. I'm glad that you're here. God is glad that you're here. The devil, on the other hand, he's not glad that you're here. He didn't want you to be here this morning. He didn't want you to hear what I have to say. He didn't want you to hear what Pastor Dennis said last week or what Sam or Jeff said the weeks before. So that's all the more reason to go back and watch those sermons, because you will be blessed by them. You need to know what they shared. But I don't know about you, but over the last several weeks, I have really learned a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I've been digging in, and I've been hungering and thirsting after him more than I think I ever have before. And in that process, I've come across a lot of struggles, and you may be able to relate to that. Not physical struggles, although I know several of you have gone through some physical struggles, but mine have been more spiritual, more emotional, more troubles with patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. So I really have. I've been struggling, because here's the thing. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on against our souls. And though we may not see it and we may not be aware of it, it's going on, whether we know it or not. It's like I was in here a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and I was helping with the worship practice. No, I wasn't singing. I wasn't singing. The Lord loves my voice. The Lord, when I sing to him, it's music to his ears, but probably not to yours, so I don't sing. But I was in here, I was running the lyrics for the worship team, and I had to go to the restroom, so I started out this door to go to the restroom, and I opened the door, and this ball comes at me, and just bam, right up against the wall, right next to my head. Scared me to death. Because unbeknownst to me, there was a war going on in the gym called youth group dodgeball. And I had no idea. I had just walked into a danger zone. Had I known, I would have been more cautious. I might have used a different door, or I might have went at a different time, or I might have just held it. But I didn't know, and I walked into a danger zone. And so I'm here to tell you today that there is a war going on. There's a war going on against our souls. And whether you know it or not, not knowing about it does not mean that it's not going on. So if you don't know that there's a war going on, then how are you going to win the war? Right? You won't. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning in a message that we're calling, that's not what we're calling it. That's it. Crippling the enemy. I don't even know how that happened. But the Bible says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Looking for someone to devour. So who is he looking to devour? That guy sitting over there in the corner doing nothing? No. Or that person out there living their life and shining their light for Christ? That person that's trying to do something for the kingdom of God? That's who he wants to devour. That's who he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who he wants to put a stop to. Because when people follow the Holy Spirit, it makes the devil mad. He don't like it. He don't like it. And so, just like Pastor Dennis talked about a couple of weeks ago, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And right after that, that's when he first started his earthly ministry. Right after that is when the devil tempted him in the desert. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that when you start living your life for Christ, that's when the devil's going to get after you. That's when he wants to stop you. That's when he wants to keep you from having any influence over people for the kingdom of God. And so I know that at this point you might be thinking, then if I follow God and the devil's going to get after me, then maybe I just shouldn't follow God. But I'm telling you, that's not a good option. That's not the option to take, because if you're not following God, then you're probably making some pretty bad decisions. You're going to have to face the consequences of those decisions, and that's not pleasant either. So that's not a good option. The better option is to fight. It's a war. So fight. We went camping a couple of weeks ago. And that's one of my most favorite things to do with my family, is to get out and get away from all the busyness and all the distractions of the world and just be together and make memories and have good conversations. And so I went camping with my family. And one night, me and Brianna, Brianna's my youngest, we walked up to the bathhouse. And when we went in, it was light. And when we came out, it was dark, very, very dark. And so we were walking out through there, and I turned on the flashlight on my phone so that we could see where we were going. And the bugs just started swarming that light. They just started coming after us, and they were swarming me because I was holding the light, and I'm smacking and swatting and falling all over the place. And so finally, I was just like, I'm just going to turn this light out. So I turned the light out, and thankfully, we didn't get lost because we were camping right over by Sherry and Carl, and they had their lantern lit at their campsite, and we could see it, so we just followed that light. And when we got there, the bugs weren't that bad around their light because they had a campfire built and the smoke coming up and they citronella candles and bug spray, and they were all prepared. They were ready for the bugs. And there were still bugs. There were still bugs, but they were ready for them. They were prepared for them. And so I just want to use that as an example this morning that, you know, when you're shining your light for Jesus, the bugs are going to attack. The devil's going to attack. The enemy's going to come after you. And don't do like I did and just turn out your light and just stumble around in the dark. You do like Sherry and Carl. Be ready. Be prepared for the battle. Be prepared to protect yourself and fight back. So how do we fight back? How do we cripple the impact of the enemy on our lives? First, like we've been talking about, you got to be aware. You got to be aware. Be alert and of sober mind. You got to know this thing is going on. And then we're going to look in Ephesians today. We're going to spend a lot of time in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So that's second. Second, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so the spirit that lives in you is more powerful than anything that the devil can throw at you. But being a Christian doesn't make you immune to the schemes of the devil. So number three, you got to prepare for battle. You got to prepare for battle, and that's what we're talking about today. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God. Put on. You got to put it on. Even if you're a Christian, you got to put it on. It's not just automatically there. You've got to choose to put on that armor every day and put on the full armor. Because if you're missing a piece of your armor, whether it's the breastplate or the helmet, whatever piece you're missing, that's where the devil's going to strike at. That's what the devil's going to go after because that's your vulnerable point. That's where he's going to tempt you. And temptation is anything that lures our hearts and our minds from God and the truth of his word. So spiritual warfare is anything that the devil throws at you to pull your hearts and your minds away from God. So he'll do anything that he can to get you to choose something that God would not have you to choose, that God would not be happy with, that because he wants you to take a step back from God, because sin separates us from God. Not because God is mad at us, although that's what the devil would have us think. Not because God doesn't want us anymore, but because of that shame and that guilt, we take a step back. And before you know it, we take another step back and another step back because we're ashamed to go to him. We feel like we're not worthy. And we eventually step so far back from God that we think he can't even see us anymore. But that's not the reality. It's like Sam talked about a couple of weeks ago when he was preaching about the prodigal son. God is waiting there with open arms, wanting us to come back to him. He's ready for us to come back to him at all times, no matter how far we've gone, no matter what we've done. But we have to recognize these temptations and these aggravations in our lives as for what they are. They're schemes of the devil. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 12. And let me just say that heavenly realms can also be translated as spiritual realms. So it's not like what we would think of as heaven. It's a spiritual realm. And it's kind of hard to grasp with our earthly minds because we can't see it. But the Bible talks a lot about it and assures us that there is a spiritual realm, and there is activity there that we are not aware of. But look at this verse. It says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So that argument with your spouse, that disagreement with your child or with your boss, it's not about them. You have an enemy. You have an enemy that wants to destroy your marriage, that wants to break apart your family, that wants to destroy your witness at work. You have a very real enemy. That person is not your problem. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Put on the full armor of God. Now, this is not a physical armor, okay? In the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, many times, usually Jesus, but in this case, Paul, uses examples of things that are familiar to explain something that's unfamiliar. And so, you know, a lot of times they use farming or fishing. But in this case, Paul, he's writing to the Ephesians. He's in a Roman prison. So he's surrounded by Roman guards and Roman soldiers all day long. So this is what he's seeing. He's seeing their armor. And he's comparing that to how we as Christians should prepare for battle. And so I want you to imagine every morning putting on this invisible armor, okay? Because it's not a physical armor. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual armor. It's a spiritual battle. So you just put on this invisible spiritual armor every day to get ready to live for him. In verse 14, it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." And so this is what... this is similar to what a Roman soldier would have worn in those days as a belt. And he would wear it, and it gave him some protection down here. But most importantly, it was like an anchor. It was like a foundation for the rest of his uniform. Okay, he would hang his helmet on here. His breastplate would usually lace into the top of it. And so if the belt was on tight, then it would give that anchor and that foundation to hold his breastplate up. But if it was loose, then his breastplate would fall. Okay, so it was really a strong anchor. And Paul refers to this as our belt of truth, that we should anchor and foundation and have our foundation in the truth of God's word. So truth is God's opinion on things. Truth is it's what God thinks. It's our standard for living. It's our standard for making decisions in our own lives each day. So how do we know the truth? We know the truth by exposing ourselves to it, by reading our Bibles, by praying, by coming to church, by being in community with other Christians and discussing things with other Christians, like in small groups. You know, small groups are really important to have that fellowship and that support and that encouragement from people who are trying to live the same lifestyle that you're trying to live, that have the same morals and values that you do, and you can encourage each other. We have a lot of great groups here at Grace, and I would encourage you to get involved in one. There's a list out on the bulletin board in the gym. There's a list on our website at gcclive.com. I would encourage you to go there and find a group that you can pour into and that can pour into you, because you will be blessed by it. But we know the truth by exposing ourselves to it, by ingraining it in our hearts and our minds. You know, the Bible says to hide the word of the Lord in our hearts so that we won't sin against him. It gives us the ability to discern right from wrong. You know, the world says this is okay, but the Bible says it's not okay. And how do you know that? You know that only if you're familiar with the word of God. So you got to reinforce your core beliefs, and it'll give you the strength to carry the rest of your armor. Because if your faith and your hope are not anchored in biblical truth, then you'll fall apart in the heat of the battle. You know, when things start coming at you, then you'll just fall apart. This gives you something to hang on to. It says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So let's talk about this. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. It's part of the free gift of salvation. When Jesus died on the cross, he took on our sin and he gave us his righteousness. Okay? So it's a free gift. We can't attain this on our own. We get this from Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, we were justified, just as if I had never sinned. We need his righteousness to cover us and to protect us. The soldier wore the breastplate for one reason, for protection. Okay, it protected him from his neck down to his legs. And it protected all of his vital organs, his heart, his lungs, and kept him alive. It kept him alive. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when we believe in Jesus' free gift of salvation and forgiveness of our sins, he makes us right before him. And so when we screw up, like we all do, when we screw up, we can go to him and we can ask for his forgiveness. And the Bible tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all we have to do is go to him. But the devil wants us to think that we're just bad, that we're no good. That, you know, he says, you call yourself a Christian, you're not a Christian. You're bad. You don't try to serve God. You're a joke. He'll tell us all that things. And if we let those lies penetrate our hearts, if we let our breastplate down and we let those lies penetrate our hearts, it'll affect every aspect of our lives. It'll affect our thoughts. It'll affect our actions. It'll affect the way that we treat other people. And so we've got to put on that righteousness. But now how do we do that? We've got to, every morning we've got to make a decision to put off our old selves and to put on the righteousness of God and to go out there as a person who has been cleansed from their sins and we are free to share the word of Jesus Christ. Because when we allow all that sin and those toxic behaviors to remain in our lives, it's just like taking that breastplate off. It's just like saying, here I am, Satan, just take a shot. I'm open game. So we got to put that breastplate on every day, because as soon as he finds that weak part in our armor, he will strike. Verse 15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So the Roman soldiers, they wore sandals because they didn't have, you know, major footwear in those times. So they wore sandals, but they put like cleats on the bottom of them so that they could just really dig in, okay? So if they had gone barefooted, you know, they wouldn't have been as strong, right? Because their feet would be hurting. They might be stepping on things or whatever. And so they had to wear sandals. They'd get their shoes on so that they'd be ready to go, right? It's just like, you know, if I'm at home and I need to go somewhere, or maybe Roger calls and says he needs me to go help him do something in the garage, I say, okay, well, let me get my shoes on, right? If you're going to work, or you're going to church, or Walmart, or wherever you may go, you put your shoes on. You get your shoes on, and you get ready, right? Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah, it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. So this has to do with soul winning. This has to do with getting out there and doing the work of the gospel, sharing your faith, giving to your church, volunteering, being a light and an example to others. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do it with gentleness and respect, but always be ready to tell somebody about Jesus. Okay, and that has to do a lot with having your armor on and being the example that has earned the right to speak into people's lives. But always be prepared to speak of Jesus. And when you do that, when you're living the gospel, when you're out there with your shoes on and you're ready to go, you're ready to do the word of God, then you feel peace. You feel good about yourself because you know that God is happy with you. You know that he's pleased with your actions and your behaviors, and that's a good feeling. But the devil would rather catch us off guard, barefoot and complacent, and steal our peace and steal our joy. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Flaming arrows. I want to talk about that for a minute. I know most of you probably seen the old westerns where they have the fiery arrows and they're shooting them at each other, and they shoot them at the other side, and maybe they catch their wagon on fire or they catch their hut on fire. And then the people, they shift their focus and they go to put out the fire in the hut, or they put out the fire in the wagon, and all of a sudden they're putting out fires and they've lost their focus on the battle at hand, right? On the real battle that's going on. The devil is so good at this one. He's so good. I see it all the time in ministry. I've been bit by it more times than I'd like to admit. But, you know, we come in here on Sunday morning and we're all pumped up. We're prepared. You know, we're ready to share the gospel. We're ready to welcome people into God's house. The worship team's ready to sing for the glory of God. You know, we're here. We're ready to go. And then all of a sudden, you know, the projectors won't line up. A speaker goes out. Internet goes down. You know, the coffee cups smell like fabric softener. That was our problem this morning. So if you're drinking a cup of fabric softener, we apologize. But, or there's a bird in the gym. Y'all remember when there was a bird in the gym? You know, we're out of honey buns, we're out of toilet paper, whatever, there's something. And so before you know it, we're all just running around putting out fires. And we've lost our focus. We're distracted. The devil is good at that. He loves to distract us from our mission. And we don't even recognize it. We don't even see it happening. So the next time that you're on your way to church and your spouse or your kids picks a fight with you, and you get here and you're too mad to listen to the sermon, you're too mad to even worship the Lord, you can't even pay attention, it's flaming arrows, distractions. Pastor Dennis gets up here and his microphone won't work and his screen keeps flipping channels or flipping screens. It's flaming arrows. It's just distractions. Shift our focus. We got to take up our shield of faith, and we got to defend ourselves from those flaming arrows and just let them bounce right off of us and just keep marching forward for the Lord. Because listen, the enemy, he can't destroy you. He can't destroy you. Your eternity is secure in Jesus Christ if you're a Christian today. Your eternity is secure, but he can sidetrack you with all these little fires and make you ineffective for the gospel. And that's his goal. His goal is to make you ineffective. And he's doing that in your everyday life. He's firing shots at you. He's telling you you're not good enough. You're too fat. You're too thin. You're too this. You're too that. You don't have enough education. Every day. Because if he can convince you that you're not worthy, if he can convince you that you have nothing to offer to the kingdom of God, then you won't offer anything to the kingdom of God. And he's rendered you ineffective. And it's not random. It's not random. Listen, he has studied you. He knows you. He knows you well. He knows your favorite sin. He does. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where he can get you. He's good, and you got to be ready. You got to hold up that shield of faith, and you got to march forward and keep moving for God. Because this is a shield of faith. And it's faith in action. It puts this shield into action. When you're living out your faith and you're raising up your shield and you're defending yourself from all those flaming arrows and you're blocking them. The Roman shield, I know when we think of a shield, we often think of the round shields that they hold up here. But actually in this time they had these shields that were 3.5 by 3 feet wide, some of them. And they were big, and they could hold them, and they would cover up most of their bodies, and they could even crouch down behind them if they needed to ward off those arrows. And when they were together as an army, they could form a formation called a testudo formation, and we have a picture of that. And so you see the guys in the front, they would put their shield in the front, and the guys in the middle, they would put theirs up so that when the arrows would come, they would bounce off the top. And they were so strong. It was like a tank. They could just march forward into anywhere. Because you have to remember that they didn't have bombs. They didn't have guns. So they're mostly fighting off arrows. And they could just push their way into anywhere. They were virtually unstoppable. And so I'm here to tell you as a church that if we unite together as the army of God and we all hold up our shields of faith and we march together, we're unstoppable. Okay? Because even if it was a little group, if it was a small group of guys, they could put one in the front, one in the back, one on each side, and they just march forward like a little tank. You know, I got your back, you got mine. If we all had each other's backs, if we were all working together and lifting each other up and serving each other, carrying our shields of faith into battle and uniting together shoulder to shoulder, the church would be unstoppable. We'd be unstoppable. So we got to take up our shield of faith. In verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do I have any motorcycle riders in here? Any former football players or maybe current football players? Okay, a few. All right. I know there had to have been a time in your lives when you're riding that motorcycle or you're riding that four-wheeler or in a football game or whatever that you had to be very thankful for that helmet, right? Maybe you had an accident or you had a took a hard hit, got a little woozy, saw a few stars, you know. You're very thankful that you had that helmet because it protected you, okay? A helmet is for protection. And Roman soldiers wore helmets. They wore helmets, and they were very nice. They were pretty. They were beautiful. They were made out of bronze, and they were very, you know, ornamented, and they had, you know, carvings in them and different things that they were just beautiful. And you could see them from a distance. And so when I think about that, Paul referred to this as our helmet of salvation, it makes me think that our salvation should be noticeable. Our salvation should be beautiful. It should be a grand thing in our lives that people notice. You know, the Roman soldier, he never left without his helmet. He always had his helmet with him. He wore it in battle. But if he wasn't in battle, he had it hooked to his side. He always had it with him. So our salvation is something that we should always have with us. The fact that you're a Christian should be visible. It should be visible with the way that you carry yourself, with the words that you say, the way that you act. And if it's not, then you ain't got your helmet on. Salvation isn't just a stamp on your hand or a ticket into heaven. Salvation is what protects our minds in the battle. Just as a soldier's helmet protected his head and protected his brain, our helmet of salvation protects our mind. It protects us against the desires and the temptations and the toxic traps that the enemy lays before us. We become more and more insulated against those attacks when we keep our helmet of salvation on. Because let me tell you, that old saying of the devil made me do it, that don't fly. Because the devil can't make you do anything. He can lay the trap. He can put the temptation in front of you. And he does a really good job at it. But you still choose. You still make that choice. He can't make you do anything. And the Bible tells us that there's no temptations that's come before us that we can't overcome. That he always provides us a way out. But we have to take it. And it starts with choosing to guard our minds against even thinking those thoughts. Against even thinking things that dishonor God. Because our thoughts direct our actions. Just like you are what you eat physically, you are what you think spiritually. The battle begins in your mind. And no, you can't keep yourself from thinking those things. You can't keep yourself from having those thoughts, but you can keep yourself from lingering on them. You can choose not to linger on them, because the more you linger on them, they're going to lead to action and they're going to lead to sin. So you got to guard your mind. You got to put your helmet of salvation on every day. And you got to say, I am a saved child of God, and I reject that thought. I reject that temptation because I am a saved child of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And the sword, it was a double-edged sword. Okay, so it was sharpened on both sides. Today we see a lot of swords that are only sharpened on one side and they have a dull edge on the other side, but it was sharpened on both sides, so they could slice people up. You know, they could fight with both edges. All right, one side gets dull, they just fight with the other one. And so this represents the Word of God. And that's how we fight off Satan. That's what we fight him with, is the Word of God. We see that in Jesus in the desert. He quoted the Word of God. And the devil doesn't have a leg to stand on when it comes to the Word of God. But the only way that we can use the Word of God is if we know it, right? So we have to hide the Word of God in our hearts so that it can come to us in an instant when we need it in that battle. It can come to us. And when Satan attacks, like he always does, you know, in those cartoons where you have the devil on one side and the angel on the other, it's really not that far off. There really is a battle. You know, and when Satan comes up and he whispers in your ear, you know, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have let that happen in your life. You can say, the Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And when the devil comes up in your ears and says, remember what you did? You're no good. Remember what you did? You can say, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You have that. You have that to fight the enemy. Speak God's word out loud to the enemy. Speak it out loud because the devil can't hear your thoughts. He can't. He can't hear your thoughts. We have a very powerful enemy. He's really good at his tactics, but he can't hear our thoughts. He's not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He's not all present like our God is. Verse 18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Prayer. It's the last, but it's definitely not the least. It's the most important thing that God gives us for battle. Prayer. Because that's where we align our thoughts with God's thoughts. That's our war room. That's where the troops, you know, make their plans and get ready for battle. The strategy's developed and the troops are strengthened. So after we put on all the armor, if we pray, then God will fight our battles for us. You know, because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of our enemy. But without Jesus, we're outmatched. Prayer is essential, and Paul knew this. He said, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That's the whole idea. That's the whole game plan. That's the whole point. That's our team objective, is to get out there and boldly proclaim our Jesus to everyone and win them over to our team. And the more that we do that, the more the enemy will come against us. And the more that we have to be prepared. But I heard a man say once, it's good to butt heads with the devil, because that way you know you're not going in the same direction. So if the devil comes in and he starts working against you, you say, praise God. I've upset the devil. I must be doing something right. Okay? Take it as a compliment. In closing this morning, I want to tell you that now that your eyes have been opened to this new spiritual realm, and you're realizing that there really is a battle going on out there, you can do one of two things. One, you can close your eyes and pretend it's not happening. Just leave yourself open and vulnerable to the attacks. Leave your family and your friends vulnerable. Or two, you can allow this information to stir your soul. And you can put on the full armor of God and you can get out there and you can fight. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. It lives in you. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, that same power is available to you. The Bible tells us that anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you can be saved today. And the army of God needs you, needs every one of you right now out there fully armored, fully ready to go, fully ready to share the gospel, fully ready to have each other's backs. We've been tearing each other down way too much. We're the army. We've got to unite. We've got to unite. So let's join together in prayer right now. This is where our hearts and our minds align with God, and let's do that together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message this morning. Lord, I really do believe that it's what you laid on my heart to share. I pray that we will leave here changed this morning, that we will leave here ready, stronger, stronger, that we'll put on our armors, we'll go out there, we will boldly live our lives for you. We will boldly share you with other people. We thank you, Lord, that the victory is already won. I'm so grateful, Lord, to be on the winning team. Unite us together, Lord, to be that strong force for you. Strengthen us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Send us out, Lord. Here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. Amen.